This show was first broadcast on Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. For more information on our lineup of shows and the role we play in the media, visit freefm.org.nz.
And welcome to the Vedic Wisdom. Thank you for being with us today. I want to talk about the creation of the material manifestation as opposed to the existence of the spiritual manifestation. Now, in the Vedic literature, we learn that the material manifestation is caused by the Supreme Lord's will to provide the living entities with an opportunity to experience their desires. As you are well aware, we have independent desires unique to our individual selves, and we have a degree of free will that we use to drive the material body and to endeavor to fulfill those desires. Now, my desires are different than yours and everyone else's. Other than the programming caused by the social structure we're in, the social engineering that's going on, generally everyone has a unique goal in life. They're trying to make us have the same goal in life, but if you look within your heart, your desires, what you want to do, what you want to be, what you wish to contribute, is you, is yours, is your uniqueness. And this uniqueness is the characteristic that most endears us all to the Lord. Many people say, well, if God is so unlimited and so powerful, he doesn't need me. But he doesn't have anyone else like you. You are unique. That is the most wonderful aspect of creation. The same thing, you can see the apple trees. Everybody's seen an apple tree, but every single one of them is different. Even the fruit is slightly different, or the shape, or the flowers, or the number of leaves, or the position they're in, or there's something unique about every tree, about every animal, about every person, about every living entity. And you and I, as individual eternal living entities, carry unique qualities. And those unique qualities is what endears us to God. He wants to interact with you, including your uniqueness. Not without your uniqueness. He doesn't need, he can create millions of the same things. Just like if you take a candle and you light another candle, another candle, another candle from the original one, you just keep going and keep going and keep going and keep going. They're all the same. A flame, a candle power, it's called. There's no uniqueness. So he can do that. But when we look at the living entities, we're all created different. And that difference, that uniqueness, is the spice of life for you and I. And similarly for the Lord. I meet my soulmate, my partner, because she has unique characteristics and qualities that endear me, attract me, encourage me. And you meet someone who does the same thing for you, but they're totally different than my mate. And this goes on and on and on and on. You see it all the time. Two people that they get along absolutely fabulously, and you can't stand either one of them. Sometimes you go, what does she see in him? What does he see in her? Well, they see the uniqueness. This is what we actually bring to the table when it comes to, dear Lord, please accept me. There is a uniqueness in every one of us, and the Lord is aware of that, and the Lord is interested in that, and the Lord desires to exchange with you on that unique perspective, from that unique perspective. So there is room, there is need, there is interest, inclination, encouragement for you to open up and develop your eternal relationship with the Lord. Because you're bringing something special, and the Lord is interested in that special. He is awaiting it. He is desirous of it, or he wouldn't have created us living entities uniquely. So we have to lift ourselves up and be our unique individual selves. And that attracts the Lord. The Lord is interested. This person is acting responsibly. This person is acting sincerely. This person is acting humbly. This person is interested in being a personification of truth and is interested in understanding his relationship with God. The Lord goes, that's the kind of person I'm interested in helping. Let me watch over that person. And watch over someone means he gives you an opportunity to meet a realized soul. Now, this material manifestation has all sorts of variety in it. And the most important variety is those living entities who are pure of heart and consciousness and carry the message of God. They carry the knowledge whereby you can come to your unique devotional service in relationship to the Lord. That is when you are awake. And the Lord, he knows that that is there in you. And he created the material manifestation so you could express your uniqueness and he could observe that uniqueness and you could become interested to exchange that uniqueness with him and return to the spiritual world. But you needed some sort of a expression. And this material world was created by him for you to have that expression. So we learn a couple of things from this, and that is one, that the Lord existed before the creation of the manifestation. He exists in the spiritual world, which is an eternal place, and he created this material manifestation, which is a temporary place, and he allows the living entities to live here in a variety of ways and suffer or enjoy the results of their desires on an individual basis. Your desires are different than mine of the next person. Everybody else's are again unique, and you get your return, I get my return, everybody gets a return for the actions they perform on a moment-by-moment basis. At every moment, you're making decisions. You're constantly using your free will in this way or in that way. Sometimes to your benefit, sometimes not. Sometimes you learn, sometimes you become confused. But the whole method, the whole opportunity, the whole structure of the material world is actually a benevolent gesture on the part of the Lord for you as an individual living entity to come to your highest potential and express your individual uniqueness in devotional service to the Lord, whereby he sees, enjoys, and reacts and reciprocates with you on a loving platform of service and return. This knowledge, this is knowledge. And this comes from the Vedic literature. This comes from the disciplic chain of spiritual masters. It's no good having someone speculate, well, maybe this. Well, what if God did that? Or what if God does that? Or can God do these things? What can he do? What can he do? What is he at? What's going on? These speculations have no value. The Vedic literature says that the disciplic succession is strictly following the transcendental instructions from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And that one can prove that it is a bona fide representative of the disciplic succession if the instructions originally imparted by the Lord to the living entities is exactly the same as the message imparted to the living entities by the disciplic succession. So the disciplic succession's job is not to reproduce, to recreate, to protect, to see to it nothing goes astray. Now, you take a look at that in your life. It's very difficult to keep things from going astray. It doesn't matter what it is. If you set it right in a period of time, it'll go off the rails. If you clean it, it'll get dirty. If you fix it, it'll break. If you get one, you'll need another one. If something will go be stolen, go away, use it up. Everything is in flux. So it's pretty significant that the Lord took the time and he has empowered the disciplic succession, the saints and sages of the disciplic succession, to protect the Vedic literature so you get the message the way he meant it to be delivered. And this is the responsibility of any real servant. You learned that in school, didn't you? Everybody in the class had to learn how to count Everybody in the class had to learn multiplication tables. You didn't learn different ones. You all learned the same one. Why? Because it was a mode, a method, a platform of interaction and communication for the rest of your life. You learned, in this country, you learned English. And you had to know how to read it and write it and express it and use it. So that it was a platform of exchange, interaction of thoughts and concepts, in the spoken or written word, that could be understood for what was meant. And these platforms are there in society. They're fading now because the people at the top don't want us to communicate on a higher spiritual, heartfelt level. But the Lord does. So He is protecting the Vedic literature constantly. He's constantly got somebody on the planet and others observing the planet and everyone involved protecting the Vedic literature so that you get it right. What's the sense of living a life looking for the answers if there's no answers to be found? There are many people who come to that conclusion. There are many people that commit suicide because they believe nobody knows the answers of life. They give up. They want the suffering to stop. They want the confusion to stop. They want the fear and anxiety to stop. They say, well, I'm being dead, going into zeroness is better than living in this world where nobody knows the answer and nobody can help me to put an end to my anxiety. So they commit suicide. This is how ignorant our society has become. This person should be given encouragement, support, Vedic knowledge. Not book knowledge, not a mundane knowledge, it's called. Not about how to fix your car. None of that stuff. About who you are and why you're here and how it happens. What you're to do. What is your duty, responsibility? What is your goal? What is the perfection? These subjects will stop anyone from committing suicide. When you get to know the answers to this conclusively and you get to see them in proper perspective and the interaction between all of these subjects, you realize there's no reason to commit suicide. Absolutely not. There's too much work to do. I'm too important to the plan of the Lord to leave. So the suicide victim, he reforms. There is something good here. There is something more than I realized. I went from place to place to place and asking everyone, what is it all about? And nobody knew. No one could answer me. They were too busy earning money and having a good time and drinking beer. But I didn't want that. I wanted something more, and I couldn't find it, couldn't find it, couldn't find it. When he finds Vedic knowledge, he's answered. He goes, wait a minute. There are answers here. This makes sense. It is interconnected. It is interrelated. It does have meaning and importance and value. I have meaning and importance and value. So he doesn't want suicide any longer. He wants to get to work. He wants to contribute. He wants to grow as a person and help others grow as a person and express their uniqueness. Because that uniqueness is important on the transcendental platform. If you look at the creation of this material manifestation, even though it's temporary and it's covered with matter and it's got all these issues and problems, the variety is undeniable. There is variety everywhere, and that variety is the spice of life. It gives meaning, it gives taste, it gives importance, it gives stimulus to the experience of life. And this goes on in the spiritual strata, in the spiritual universe. It gives the same thing as there. The variety, the variegatedness, the uniqueness of every single individual, it shines brightly there. Here we are dull and we don't notice it. We don't respect the other person for being who they are. The uniqueness of who they are. So this is a platform of perspective that we need to see so that we understand our validity and our importance in the great plan. No one's actually left out of the great plan. People just take themselves out, or they're taken out by someone who is not benevolent, who is selfish, greedy, someone who is trying to be the controller, who's trying to exploit others. That's how one gets taken out of the concept that they're of importance. Never by the expressions of the Lord. Never under the expressions of the Lord's servants. We see that in every religion. The great exponents of the other religions, whether it be Muhammad or be Lord Christ or be Lord Buddha, they're always trying to encourage you to reach your potential and become of worth in the eyes of the Lord. To understand there is worth for you in the eyes of the Lord. And to reflect that, they say, love thyself and love thy brother. So you have to see yourself in proper perspective. How can you love an illusion? How can you be proud of a misconception? But you can definitely be proud of an interactive relationship with the Lord that is based on love and devotion. And the Vedic literature brings that up. The spiritual masters impart to you the perspective that the Lord imparted at the very beginning of the creation when he brought the Vedic literature into existence for all the living entities who were here experiencing desires. So, you have to look at your desires and weed out the ones you go, that's not really important. That isn't really going to help me. It isn't necessary. And start looking at how can I become my unique individual self? And how can I bring that perspective forward in my goal, in my expression? Bring out your unique individual perfection. So this is the scientific side of the Vedic literature. It's meant to bring out the good side of you. And instructions coming from the spiritual master are for that purpose. So look at yourself and see, what is the unique qualities and characteristics that I brought with me? I've always had, have grown in me as I've grown older. I have actually nurtured them in my heart that this is what I really want to do. This is what I really believe I'm capable of. That's the area to focus. And that's the area to engage in the service of the Lord. Because that unique quality, those unique qualities, are intended for your upliftment and perfection. So engage those qualities. Become perfect. Reach to that platform where there is no anxiety. Reach to that platform where your uniqueness is a glorious thing. In this material world, then the uniqueness is stifled. They stop you. Stop the tall poppy. No, 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 you can't act like that. No, you can't ask that question. No, no, you can't do that. No, you can't look like that. Over and over and over and over and over, stopping the uniqueness. This is wrong. From a transcendental point of view, this is wrong. From a social point of view, from a spiritual point of view, from a psychological point of view, from all the points of view you can name, this stifling of the individual's unique qualities and characteristics are wrong. You simply have to avoid things that cover you and people that are vexatious to the soul and try to stop you from being who you really are. This is not being propounded anywhere. The opposite is being propounded. You step out of line, somebody will squeal on you. If you cross the center line, a piece of paint on the road, if you swerve over the line, you're going to miss a cat. Someone will blow their horn. Hey, beep, beep, get back on the other side. That is how regulated, how much of a prison we live in. No one can tolerate anyone getting outside the line. It's breeding sameness. It's breeding frustration. It's breeding illusion. It's breeding fear and anxiety. It's breeding suicide. And yet, no one stops and thinks, maybe this is wrong. Maybe we should allow people to be unique. Maybe we should celebrate our uniqueness. Oh, now and again, they have a little movement. Oh, we're going to celebrate our uniqueness, children. What? We're going to all... Everybody can wear whatever color shoes you want. What the... It's your expression. It's what you think. It's what you feel in your heart. So we have to recognize that we're in an environment that is stifling the unique qualities of the people, as opposed to celebrating them and encouraging them, and then directing them through the chain of spiritual masters to be developed into service in love of God for the satisfaction of the Supreme Lord. This is where our perfection lies. You have to use what you've been given, what you are, what you've developed, what you want, in a harmonious way. It can all be stitched together into a method and into an experience and into hope and into a path of enlightenment and love of God if you simply get some guidance by the spiritual master to help you stitch this together. There's no need to be like everybody else. We've already got lots of people being like everybody else. Why would we want more? Well, the same thing is true from the Lord. He doesn't want this sameness. He wants you to become the individual you are and learn how to express that through the Vedic literature, through the chain of spiritual masters who are not speculating. They're not putting self-interest in. They're providing you with the perspective as the Lord enunciated it, without adulteration. That's what's potent for you to use to become a fully realized soul. So the Vedic literature begins with Bhagavad Gita as it is. And there's a summary chapter, chapter 2, and it covers the conditions and the situation of a living entity who's taken on a temporary material body and then misidentified the body as the self and is searching for his soul. And this is the misconception. We are the spirit soul. And the body is a temporary car. And this is all cleared up in the first chapter. It describes how the body grows and changes, how it wears out and you get another one. It describes transmigration. It describes the higher conceptions of reality that aren't being taught to you in the material world. So the Vedic literature, Bhagavad Gita as it is, the author is His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. There are millions, hundreds of millions of his books on the planet. They're available in every town and village. This is the success you're looking for. Read the Vedic literature.
For more episodes, use the accessmedia.nz app for iOS and Android devices, or subscribe to this podcast via Spotify, iHeartRadio, or Apple Podcasts. This free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.